Aven, ciao, listeners of Heavy Demons Show, this is Attila from Mayhem, and you should just keep the hellfire burning your soul. Fuck yeah, and see you in hell. Ciao.
Talking about Tormentor, what can you tell us about the late 80s and the huge social changes that happened in your country back then? Which are your memories about this?
The system changed, like it collapsed around 89, I think, when the wall went down and all the stuff. So Tormentor was formed in 85. I was like a kid, you know. Yeah. The first show was in 86. I was 15, you know. So, but I grown up in this area, and that was kind of like the end of the communism, but it was still really fucked up, you know. I can tell you how it was. Like, cops could beat you up. Mm-hmm. Everything was gray. There was no options, no choice, you know. I mean, towards the end it got better, but you know, in my childhood, like in the 70s and early 80s, it was still kind of hard and kind of harsh, you know. Not as bad as the rest of the East European countries, because we had like a revolution. Mm-hmm. Like anti-Soviet revolution in 56, so then we had a little bit more more freedom. Like, you could go like once in 3 years to the West. We were not, you know, we were not political band, so we didn't have that major problems, but obviously they hated us. I know, like, one friend of mine, he was taken to the cop station. It was already after Tormentor, like in 1991, and I don't know, he was arrested for something, and he told me that they were asking about me, and that they had like a huge file, you know, they put this pile of paper on the table, was all about us, Tormentor, me, what I'm fucking doing, and it was before Mayhem, man.
Yeah.
We didn't get arrested or anything, you know, we didn't have that major problem, but they fucking hated us, I can tell you.
What can you tell us about your scientific education? Do you think it somehow affected your art?
Maybe. I have a degree of electric engineering, you know. Yeah. And how I ended up in a university is just like because I was, you know, kind of like extreme. That's my nature from the childhood. I always had the problems, you know, the problem kid. But so they put me into sport. I played water polo when I was a kid, and I went to the national team, you know, I was one of the fastest swimmer. So I had this deal with my parents as long as I was, and also at the school, I had to be good. So the sport went down. So because I started to play with Tormentor and started to play music and started to care less about the sport, which I'm very thankful because I think it's stupid. I'm happy I stopped, actually, even if I was okay with it. The deal with my parents was that they were very German type of, kind of, but not Nazi, but military kind of type of. My father was like a little bit like that. As long as I was good at the school and I had good marks, they kind of looked away from my other side, that I had all these problems and there's this music and all the shit. So that's why I had to just go on and go on, you know. And I kept on, I went to the university, I had to have good marks, and I was good at math and physics, so I went to this electric engineer fields. Actually, I finished on telecommunication and industrial acoustics, because that was the closest I could find, you know, closest to the music kind type of thing. And then, but you know, when I got my degree, then again, it was a little bit problematic because I couldn't really function in the society, you know. I remember one of my jobs, like this old lady every morning waiting for me because I became like a boss. Actually, it was Sony, you know, Sony, the Sony company from Japan.
Yeah.
It was Sony Hungary. I became ended up in the sales department of Hungarian Sony. But we were selling the TV equipment, you know, TV cameras and this old Beta, like these videos, you know, it was like this digit Beta. They cost like insane expensive. So I was one of the three salesmen. So I was like a boss, you know, everybody was saluting me in the morning. Even that job didn't work, though. I couldn't do it. I just fucking, no. So I ended up like a private teacher after, and because, you know, I couldn't survive from music until I was maybe 34, 5. It was, you know, we were totally underground, and so I had to do some other job, and the only thing I could do, I was a teacher of math and physics for like 8 years maybe. And I was very successful because I was not an asshole, you know, to the kids. I was very, you know, normally like when you invited or when you ask, you know, these kids had problems. I was a problem kid too when I was a kid, you know, so I completely got their point. And, you know, it many times happened like they, of course, they called, you know, the parents called me that I had to, they needed help for their son or daughter. So I remember many times I arrived to the door and they expected someone look like a fucking, you know, some guy with the glasses or, you know what I mean? It's not like a problem to have glasses, but it's just a character of like some engineer type of guy, not like a guy like me, you know. It was, I kind of enjoyed that for a while, you know. And I had no boss and the money was even better. Because I was just doing it privately, it was better than even what I would make at Sony, you know. So I was like, fuck everything and fuck the system, you know.
And what can you tell us about the Void of Voices project, and do you have any news about it?
I started that in like 2006-07, mm-hmm. And it was very much influenced by another band, which was my influence from the 80s, the experimental bands like Karen 93,
yeah,
Coil, Psych TV, Diamond the Galas, because the thing with Tormentor, like all the heavy metal scene hated us. We only had bad reviews. Mm-hmm. Seriously, everybody fucking hated us but we were not alone. If you look at, like, I remember when the Return came out from Battery, their second album, they had 2 points out of 7 at German Metal Hammer. So, you know, this black metal stuff was not welcomed at all when it came in the 80s. So I hanged out with these kind of guys from hardcore scene, punk scene, skinhead scene.
Yeah.
I didn't call it God then, but we would call today it God scene, you know. And this I made friendship with these people, and they showed me this music. So I got really influenced by Karen 93. When I first heard them, I thought, like, you know, it's like, you know, the old Battery records had these intros, right? This dark, like... Yeah. The wind blows and like this, you hear these noises from hell and shit. I thought, like, fuck, what a brilliant genius idea that someone is making a whole album like that.
Yeah.
You know, so this is how I hooked up on that shit completely, and that was my later influence to start Void of Voices. I heard that they use these tapes, like, you know, this how you call, like, infinite tape, you know, when you have a tape recorder but it's like repeating itself and you can change the speed of the tape, you know, like a tape machine.
Yeah,
but it's like infinite, it like goes around, like, you know, and it repeats itself. So when it's in like 2005-06, I saw an artist who were playing cello, and I just went down in Budapest to see the show. Someone told me that she was a lady, you know, I think from Italy actually. And she was using a loop station. And that was the first time I saw a loop station. I was like, wow, what is this shit? Because, you know, with a loop station, you can... It's exactly the same idea like a tape machine, like I'm talking about, these infinite tapes. But it's digital, you know? So... And you could have, like, 3 loops. So I look at this loop station, and it's immediately triggered my mind because I've been thinking about it, but I hate computers on stage, you know? I can't stand that. I don't want anything to do with that. So, but when I seen it, it's like an instrument. So I bought the instrument and I started to work. So this is how I started Void of Voices. My idea was I wanted to see how far I could go, like, to be a traditional musician, means no release. Because I was thinking, like, back in the days, you know, nobody released anything because that's how music came from, just to play live. So I wanted to see how far I can go without releasing anything. I still didn't release anything. And actually, I must say, it was a very cool experience because I played all around, played in US, couple of times, actually played all around in Europe, supported the first Ulver tour. I played Japan, the Japanese tour, played even Tasmania, you know, like fucking cool. And actually, now I want to do a release of Void of Voices, which I recorded, because like in 2012, I went to Lebanon, I'm really, my hobby and a big influence and inspiration to me to visit ancient sites, you know, but prehistorical or like, you know, pre-Christian, of course. And today it's more famous now, you know, since there was a series of ancient aliens and stuff. I don't know if you heard about it.
Yeah, yeah.
That the old technology, like people believe that we had, like, you know, the missing link. They call it missing link, like what happened, like how the caveman came out of the cave and suddenly make like pyramids, you know.
Yeah.
And this place Baalbek in Lebanon is one of my favorite, one of the most extreme stuff. And there is one monolith which is like out in the so-called quarry, so I could go there and I recorded on the top of the monolith. You know. And that's the Void of Voices recording I would like to release now, actually. I think it's time to do it. I just heard there is a tower, like they found this thing now, like 12,000 years old. It's and you know, there is also Turkey. That's where I also want to go. It's like a border to Syria. It's a place called Göbekli Tepe. I don't know if you heard about. This is also an ancient site. Okay, so you know it. You see, I'm very impressed, bro. So you have a cool knowledge of things.
Because I have two radio shows. One is dedicated to heavy metal, and the other one to mysteries. So you know, we talk about Göbekli Tepe and Baalbek.
Really?
And yeah.
Oh, so then you know what I'm talking about. That's awesome. That's amazing. Because instead of the fucking headline news of what happens in Trump or what the fuck is happening, you know, with anything, you know, there's never been a headline news about that they found Göbekli Tepe, and actually our civilization is twice older than we thought before. So yeah, this place is like where I would like to record more Void of Voices. So for me, Void of Voices is something to do with that thing too, you know. And it's a pure experimental music, and it's with this loop, so it's only my voice, and I loop my voice with these loop stations and with different effects, which I enjoy, because normally I don't use any effects in Mayhem on my voice or stuff, but here I can use effects and these loop stations, and I just create these landscapes, which are also, I'm trying to capture, you know, the atmosphere of the night and the place where I'm playing. So it's a lot of improvised. I just use some lyrics, you know, but I improvise the rest, you know, normally when I play a show. I just do it by, I do everything live, you know, always. And it's a little bit of improvisation, of course, but I have like lyrics, which even like normally I use not just my lyrics, or more like I use like classics, you know, or stuff like from like Egyptian Book of the Dead, you know, or some ancient scriptures, or some Indian mythology, or sometimes classics like Goethe, you know, like Faust and stuff like that, you know.
You're always involved in many, many projects. What are you up to recently?
You know, I have a new kind of side project called Hiedelem, which is myself as in vocals, and I'm using like effects, a little bit similar to my solo stuff.
Yeah.
And with my drummer friend, Balázs Pandi, mm-hmm. who is playing with Japanese artists like Merzbo and Keiji Haino. If you know those artists, they are like pretty like pioneers in noise music, you know, from Japan.
Yeah.
Once I played with Merzbo too, actually. And even I played once with Keiji Haino. He came on stage when we were playing with Sun on a festival called Roadburn Festival in Holland. And not much. Actually, yesterday I was out. We went to see Lindemann, you know, in Prague. There was an opportunity to meet Till, but, you know, a lot of people told me I should meet him because we have a lot of common friends, you know, like for instance Jonas Åkerlund, who made this, was director of this movie, this Lords Mayhem movie, or Joy Jordison and stuff like that, you know. So we have some common stuff going on, and it was cool to meet him. Actually, he just invited us, you know, to his private backstage, and we were just hanging there a while, and that's cool. But to be honest, I didn't tell him really, but the show was not impressing me that much. It was cool, but I prefer somehow the Rammstein stuff, you know. Yeah. That show is so amazing. I'm not a big fan of Rammstein, you know, but sometimes I listen it. Some songs are really cool, and I like, but the show is fucking amazing, so I totally support and respect. I love the show. And before that, I had this Hiedelem tour, and before that, we had a Mayhem tour in January, which was actually also cool. Like, we played in Cyprus, which we never been before. Also Turkey, where we played only once in Istanbul, but it was great to go back, and the audience was super crazy, the crowd, you know. It was total sold out. I don't know, some thousand something people, and they were absolutely crazy. Actually, it's never really happened like that, a few times, but I was a little worried, you know, like someone get maybe injured, you know, because people was like totally nuts, you know, they're pushing each other. I could see like, you know, like, it was pretty wild. And then we did like Ukraine and Russia, and in Russia we had like 5 shows, which is like, again, was a new thing. Like we went to Yekaterinburg and Samara and even Novosibirsk, which is like in Siberia. That was pretty fucking cool. Very far. Like, it was like, you know, behind India almost. I checked on the map, like, I was like, holy shit, we are that far, you know. Now I'm really busy about my next thing, which is probably one of the biggest challenge in my career, and I love to put myself in challenges. It's gonna be a full orchestra, a full philharmonic, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's like this big band, like 30, at least 30, 40 people on stage, you know, and I will be a vocalist, the Flo Monier is going to be a drummer, you know, from Cryptopsy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, I got introduced by my friend Ilan Volkov, who is like a really, it's a very kind of high-end conductor, you know, and he introduced me to this guy, this composer called Bernard Gander. That guy is like a full-on composer, like a contemporary philharmonic stuff. When I saw Bernard's stuff, I got immediately hooked on, like, it's nothing like, you know, bands like, I don't know, Dimmu Borgir or Cradle of Filth or what the fuck ever, you know, like they, I respect those bands, but you know, like normally what metal bands does, that you have a metal song or black metal or whatever you call it, and they add like an orchestra on the top later, right?
That's been
done many times, so I would not be too interested in that. But this is totally different. This is like a full-on contemporary piece, you know. It's really complicated, like 10 ordered KO album in one, you know, something like that. Bernard is into extreme metal. He loves extreme metal, but he's like coming from this classical music. I'm not sure how I'm gonna pull this out because I cannot read the notes, so now I have to really fucking put myself together and work on it and learn and try to memorize stuff and figure out how to do this. And I'm gonna be the only vocalist, you know, and he wants me to do like makeup and stuff, you know, and like look like black, kind of black metalish or something like that, you know. And And Flo Monier, he's going to play the drums. And I talk to Flo sometimes, like, how the fuck are we going to do this? He said, well, he could read the notes, but even, and we're going to have this click track or somehow to memorize the stuff. But he said he was not sure. And, you know, he's one of the best drummers out there. So I was like, all right, that's going to be fucking cool. And I'm so excited, man. Totally fucking high notch, like very excited about it. And it's, I feel like it's a very creative period, and I'm full on, man. Yeah. It's cool.
Which are your feelings for Italy?
To the country, I must say, because of my childhood, like I told you, we had these West European tours with my parents, yeah, which we could do every 3 year one time. So every summer, and when we were doing this, we normally did Austria, then Germany and Switzerland, and every time, which is of course like all together was like maybe 3 or 4 times in 10 years, because if you divide, it's like 3 times 3 years, you know. It's been, we always went down to Italy, so Italy being maybe my favorite country as a kid. And I think this country is, you have to be very proud of it, because you guys have everything. It's so fucking beautiful, the north of Italy with the mountains of Alps, you know, yeah, and the cities like Venice, you know, and then when you go a little bit, you know, to the middle, like Rome, it's like, come on, there's the Roman Empire, like there's ruins there, and this power and energy is amazing. And I traveled all around in Italy, even before I started to play music, went down to Sicily, I went to the Lipari Islands, I climbed the Stromboli, you know, I was up on the Stromboli and I saw the explosions, you know, in the night. I was to Sicilia. I was in Palermo in the catacombs, you know, which was like, again, a mind-blowing experience, like I can tell you. So I really love the country, and I love your history. But I think you guys a little bit crazy. Like, if I can tell you something which is more like strange, I wouldn't say it's wrong, but strange, like you know, this, that's why football is so big, because I know that Italy is like a lot of small countries came together, right?
Yeah.
So football is very strong, but you know, you have this competition, but sometimes it's too much. So yeah, I just realized that bands from the south, they hate the bands from the north and vice versa and all this shit, you know, which is kind of like funny, like to be an outsider. But you could work on that, maybe on those fields. You guys should get a bit more united.
Yeah, it's, you know, fucking stupid.
It's a little bit stupid, to me too. I mean, it's your word. I just repeat what you said.
Yeah, it's definitely
it's
stupid.
It's a bit strange. Like, you should get maybe a little bit more on the same page. And but apart from that, I think it's fucking great, man. And I love Rome. It's such a beautiful stuff, city, you know. And I don't know, I can only say good things. And the coast, you know, like, what's the name? Cefalù.
Cefalù, yeah. It's near
it's
Palermo.
It's so beautiful, man. Yeah. And also, like, the island of Capri, I've been there. And, of course, like, the Vesuve, you know, and Pompeii, you know. Fuck. I just got goosebumps now I'm talking about. I want to go back to Pompeii. Actually, I've been thinking to record there, like do a video in Pompeii. I tried to convince the guys of Mayhem we should do a video in Pompeii, but we never get there yet.